Welcome to the Princeton Laxcast. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton head men's lacrosse coach Matt Madelon. And coach, welcome back to another season.
Really excited. Glad to be back.
So it's almost time for opening faceoff, if that's imaginable to you. And we have a lot to talk about here today, but let's start out a little bit by talking about you and where you are as a head coach now that you are entering your third full season as the head coach, fourth season, you know, 3.5+ years of being the head coach. How much have you learned, and where are you in terms of your progression?
I think this is a constant learning progress. I think that, I think this is a constant learning process. I've been really fortunate along the way to have great mentors, and guys like Gene Peluso and Bill Pilot, you know, guys I played for and then coached with really early in my career that have really done a nice job of just helping me guide me through these first couple of years and just give me insight in terms of how to handle different situations. And, you know, you look at guys, for example, even last night with the Duke comeback, you know, in that Duke-Louisville game.
Basketball.
And Coach K is just, he's such an impressive guy, but there aren't many situations that coach hasn't been in before.
Not everybody likes him.
Anyway. So, no, it's been great. I mean, look, coming back, big thing for me, and to take it away from me and put it more on our coaching staff is just retention. We're able to, you know, keep Jeremy Hirsch and Pat March on and keep the staff together and bring in Tucker Meijer as our face-off coordinator and our volunteer coach. So it's been really nice. I think that as we kind of continue to grow and develop our systems together, we're feeling a heck of a lot more comfortable around each other in the war room per se. So it's been a really nice growth.
So you mentioned Jeremy Hirsch coming back for his second year as defensive coordinator. It's the first time in 7 years the team has had the same defensive coordinator twice in a row. For a variety of reasons, mostly because they kept getting head coaching jobs, or, you know, Jesse moved on to Maryland, which was his alma mater. What does it mean to have the same defensive coach 2 years in a row?
Defensive or offensive, just the consistency, it's crucial for our players. And it's more or less, you know, it's not that the systems are that much different in the game of lacrosse. Each coordinator comes in with their twist on certain systems, but it's more of the messaging and the relationships that really pay dividends, and I hope to be able to show that this season.
So with that consistency in the coaching staff, you also have a pretty interesting mix of guys. You have a lot of veterans, and you have an army of freshmen. And let's get into sort of a look at the roster, and any conversation about your team has to start with number 22.
Yeah, Michael's been great again this fall, you know, and early in this preseason. You know, he's as he's taken a leadership role as a captain alongside of Strip Walker, those two young men have just been really impressive on a day-to-day, you know, taking the pulse of our team, really sending the right messages. But those two guys remain the hardest working guys in our program, and that sets the tone. But Michael's a special one. We're glad to have him back, quarterback in our offense from below goal line. And we're excited to take next steps there.
What do you think the rule changes, my take on the rule changes, the shot clock and the dive, are that they're tailor-made for people who have strong X-attackment. And you've already seen that from Penn State, where Grant Ament leads the country in the first 2 weeks in scoring, but he's put up huge numbers. But as the shot clock winds down, your reliance on one guy to either get a shot off and then or dive into the crease and try to get a shot himself, or be smart enough to know when to just roll it in the corner and get your defense on the field, that's at a premium, and you have the best of all of those guys.
Yeah, we're really fortunate. Again, and I know people put the emphasis on having a great X-attackman, and what that allows you to do is when the ball does go off the end line, whether it's short time of in terms of a shot clock or just halfway through a possession, if teams defensively try to throw packages at you, whether it may be zone or press coverage and shut, when you have a dynamic guy below goal and extended behind X, he's able to kind of break down those defenses, both zone and man-to-man. So that rule, you know, I think the greatest thing about these rule changes are that there's no true blueprint to how you're going to coach it and how you're going to coach your program. I think that everyone's going to kind of sort out, you know, where they're going to take their chances, how they're going to take their chances. Are they going to take them one-on-one? Are they going to take them team-oriented? Are they going to dump the ball to the corner and focus more on riding and substituting? So no blueprint. It'll be really interesting to see how these first couple weeks of the season unfold.
As a former goalie and also as the coach of a team with a 5'9", 185-pound franchise-level ex-attackman, what do you think of the dive?
The dive's an interesting rule. And, a lot of coaches through in the NCAA, it's about 50-50 on whether or not guys love it or hate it. I think that a lot more folks are leaning towards the, you know, not liking the dive due to how difficult it is to officiate. I think it, you know, it puts a lot of pressure on the officials to make a very, very significant call. And the reason why it's significant is because this is the first time where an offensive player could dive, score a goal, and on a matter of a call, the goal can be taken away and the offensive player can be penalized depending on his trajectory of the dive. So it'll be very interesting to see how it unfolds. I mean, as a coaching staff, we're all fiery guys, and you know, we could find ourselves in moments where, you know, you can get upset very quickly, and you know, we're kind of approaching it that it's going to be a 50-50. Half the time we'll get the calls, half the time we won't, and we've got to keep coaching our group and moving forward.
The thing that I don't think people realize until you actually see it play out is when you dive and you don't score, it's turnover. You know, forget penalties or anything like that. If you dive, you land in the crease, the ball doesn't go in the goal. It's a turnover, so it's a very high-risk play. It's not like play just continues.
No, and it's a high-risk play also with the injury factor. I think that, you know, if we all as spectators look at the sport where we've been able to watch the dive and the MLL at the professional level, these are professional athletes that are really only diving 14 to 16 times a year. You know, you play 14, 16 games in an MLL season. And when you have that one practice during the week, you're normally, it's more of a walkthrough. It's not really Rob Pennell. Those guys that dive a lot aren't diving a lot throughout practice. So, you know, they may dive on game day, whereas, you know, we're practicing anywhere training around from 100 to 160 times with our guys. So there, it opens up a lot more for these young guys to put themselves in harm's way around injury, around the dive. So we're trying to be smart about it as a program, but you got to let these guys play a little bit.
All right, opening day is Saturday at Monmouth. It's a 1 o'clock face-off in West Long Branch, New Jersey. There is no video stream for that game, but there is live stats available. It'll also be on the radio. You can hear Cody Cruchel and Dave Giancola on PRB FM 103.3 and the TuneIn app. So let's talk a little bit about the specifics of your lineup as you head into that game. Michael is obviously your ex-attackman. Chris Brown is back after he had a great freshman year, fourth all-time in freshman scoring at Princeton, one of two Princeton freshmen with a goal in every game. The other was Peter Trombino. Where is he as he goes into his sophomore year?
He's just done such a nice job. As a staff, as in our offseason, as we kind of just reevaluated, you know, each game last year, he was such a young guy early, and we put him in a role where he really excelled, and he did a nice job physically. He's matured athletically. He continues to get better. So we're really excited to have Chris Brown on our sideline moving forward.
And then Philip Robertson is the other returning starter on attack, led the country in shooting percentage last year.
These guys have developed an incredible chemistry. Being able to communicate through our offensive possessions, different wrinkles, different adjustments, those three young men play very well off each other.
And you have Emmett Cordray, you have Dawson McKenzie, seniors, veterans who've played a lot of minutes so far. So you got a lot. You know, Prince has the potential to score a lot of goals this year. And in addition to the guys on attack, in the midfield, you have Charlie Durbin back after he missed all of last year, Connor McCarthy, who was starter last year. You graduate Austin Sims and Riley Thompson, who are two 100-point scorers, so you lose a lot in the midfield. But you have those guys back, and then you got these freshmen who are one after another, just one more impressive than the other.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to seeing how this midfield group kind of grows throughout this year. I think that, you know, with the veterans returning and having a couple years with Coach March, they understand our offensive approach and how to attack certain scenarios. So that's been really impressive in their lines of communication to our young guys, and bringing them along quickly has been very impressive. You know, our freshman class, it was recruited, you know, for these new rules, you know, meshing the two-way middies, offense, defense, just really bringing some athleticism in between the 30s. So we're excited to kind of unleash these young guys, and the veterans have done a great job bringing them along and preparing them thus far.
And I'm sure I left some guys out, Luke Crimmins and Jamie Atkinson and a bunch of other guys who could play in the midfield. So you have a lot of depth there, Carter Zavitz, a lot of guys who could step on the field and score some goals. As you go to the other side, you have your other captain is Strib Walker, senior, who has had a lot of injuries in his career but is healthy now and playing well. Mike Marine and Chase Williams and Jasper Arnold, veteran short sticks.
Yeah, we're looking for, you know, again, this, you know, as we play this new style of, you know, as we play our new style and we finagle systems to fit the rules best, Strib Walker, as unlucky as he's been with injuries, is back and healthier than ever. And, you know, we're excited to have his leadership on that half of the field. Mike Marine, Chase Williams, Jasper Arnold, all have recorded valuable minutes for us. So it'll be a nice balance in terms of how we use those guys.
And so let's look at the long sticks, and you got some great ones. And let's talk about first two of them. George Bond, we'll start with him, who, you know, saying last year when he guarded, his real first challenge was guarding Ben Reeves. And really what got lost in that game was the fact that he wiped Reeves out. And, you know, nobody wiped Reeves out, and Bond wiped Reeves out. And, you know, went on him at the late in the first quarter, just threw him out there on him, and he didn't have a goal or assist until maybe there were like 3 minutes left in the game. And I was thinking to myself that he was probably thinking, who is this kid? But Bond went on, became an All-Ivy selection. He's a preseason All-American. People know who he is right now, although I did read one ranking of the top 100 players in college lacrosse that called George Bond the best player nobody's ever heard of. But how good is George Bond?
He's good. He's still a young guy developing, but he athletically, he's different. You know, he really helps move the needle for us down that end in terms of athleticism and aggressiveness. He came into our program, shot out of a cannon. Physically, big, strong kid, great footwork, explosive, throws hard checks. So as we kind of continue to teach him how to play within our system, he's going to continue to dominate at this level. I think that to your point about his coming out of, you know, against Ben Reeves, you know, he got injured early in an Albany scrimmage, broke his hand. It took him a couple games to get back. And then he kind of found his groove and was back to, you know.
He's great. I mean, he guarded Chief.
Impose his will on folks. And that's how we're going to kind of use him in the future. You know, he's going to be a guy that really gets out and sets the tone for us defensively. So, you know, you can absolutely keep an eye for that.
He had a great game against Cheek from Harvard, and then the real breakout game against Teat from Cornell in the season finale. Also, Andrew Song back for his sophomore year could play close to you, but more of a long stick midi. Also, I don't know how much of the World Championships of China's games at the World Championships you saw, but also played man up with a pole in the World Championships. Had a great season as a freshman here and played really well in the World Championships, and probably looking for him to take a jump as he's a sophomore.
Yeah, it's really nice. George and Andrew, great friends off the field, great friends on the field. So it's nice to have those anchors at the top and bottom of your defensive unit. You know, Andrew's, you know, like you mentioned, did a heck of a job off the wing last year. He's got a great knack for hockeying the ball and scooping it up and making crafty, creative plays. And he'll continue to grow and get better at that. And then as his IQ and discipline develops on the defensive end, that should be a nice unit as we move forward. And
they have Armand Midgalchi, who's been a starter. He did not start the first two games of his career. He's started every game since. So he's a junior now, so in his third year as a starter. Also missed the fall with injury, but is healthy now. And it's great that you can have him, with all the experience that he has as a veteran, as your number two guy on defense.
Yeah, it is really nice. You know, I think Armand's always done it. He's done a nice job for us. He's played a lot of roles. He's played the third guy. He's played the second guy. He hasn't had to play the first in his career, but he's just he is a great complementary defenseman. You know, he, again, you know, smaller in stature, but very physically fit, very strong at the point of contact. We look forward to him taking next steps as well.
And then a lot of other options. If you want somebody else to play long stick midi or defense, you have seniors Charlie Terry, Aaron Roberts. Nick Bowers played a lot, and you know there's a couple of freshmen who may get on the field.
Yeah, all three of those guys you mentioned. Charlie Terry had a heck of a fall. We can't wait to watch his senior campaign, his stick work in between the lines, his aggressiveness in the clear. It's been really impressive. And Nick Bowers and Aaron Roberts add depth to a defensive unit who both should see valuable minutes.
And then you have a couple of freshmen, Luciano Lazzarato and Jacob Stebner, you feel?
Yeah, Luca Lazzarato, Jacob Stebner, both those guys do great. You know, they've done great things. They're still young guys. The Division I college level, the defensive packages, that ball moves a little quicker than in high school. So as those guys continue to feel the game and get moving the right speed, they should be able to jump in and give some valuable minutes to that unit as well.
So Princeton, third 2 years ago, was second in the country in scoring offense, was third in the country in scoring offense last year. It's been right around 15 goals a game for the last 2 years. The defense, obviously, with the ability to, you know, run some guys out there with some experience now and figures to be pretty strong. And that leaves two main areas to talk about. One is face-off and one is goalie. So we'll start with goalie, where Tyler Blaisdell, four-year starter, has graduated. So you now have a team where you have no player who started a game. You have three goalies on the roster. You know, it's been a pretty good competition with John Levine, Eric Peters, and Ben Churchill. Where does all that stand?
These guys have been great, and it's been just that. It has been an absolute battle. You know, those three guys come to work every day. You know, they put in maximum effort. They all play a little bit of a different style. You know, one guy with a little more presence, one guy with a little quicker hands, another guy with a little bit of different stature. So, you know, right now, John's done a really nice job for us. So has Eric, so has Ben. So I think as this week kind of shapes up, we'll solidify who's going to start within the pipes for us.
And then also face off three guys. You have Sam Bonafini graduated after sort of being the face-off guy for 4 years. Obviously not all the face-offs, but a face-off guy for 4 years. And that critical position, now you have you have a sophomore and two juniors, Philip Thompson, Ralph Schrappa, and Jack Henry Varr.
This is a unit, too, that we kind of look at like a Swiss Army knife. You know, each guy does something a little different, and each guy does something a little better than the other. So we're going to kind of use it by committee, see where we can kind of, you know, find our groove, see who gets the hot hand on a certain day. And, you know, a big focus for us as a program is the three-on-three ground ball battle, and that's the rope unit or the face-off, LSM, short stick, however we approach it, that kind of unit as a whole. So try to take a little pressure off these young face-off guys and make it more of a three-on-three approach.
And you mentioned that, well, Princeton scrimmaged UMBC last week, and you mentioned that it was – the wing play was outstanding, and especially Jake Stevens.
Freshman. Yeah, it was. You know, Jake Stevens, freshman from Culver, who joined us this fall, he's, you know, we put him up on the wing, and he did a heck of a job. I think he recorded 5 or 6 ground balls, you know, 2.5, 3/4. So we were really impressed with his performance, and hopefully he'll continue to build on that.
You mentioned wing guy and Culver, and of course you think of Zach Currier. So
yeah. Hopefully a young Zach Currier. So really impressive young man.
So that's kind of a quick look through the lineup. You have Monmouth coming up, who's a very good team. NCAA tournament team of 2 years ago. I believe they're the preseason favorite in the MAC. Opening day for them as well, but a lot of veteran guys on that team. Outstanding coaches. I know that you respect their coaching staff very much. They've done a great job in building a program from scratch in 5 years. What do you see from them?
This is a pretty impressive unit. You know, they've, like you had said, they are a very well-coached program. You know, Coach Brian Fisher's done an outstanding job. Their defensive coordinator, Coach Giesen, has them playing a very good defensive package. So it should be a battle. You know, they put us to the ropes. You know,
double overtime last year.
You're exactly right. You know, and they played a heck of a game plan, and we did not. And you know, they played much more like a team than we did that game, and we were lucky to come out. You know, we were lucky to come out with the W. But you know, as we go into this new year, new season, new team. You know, it's funny, in these early preseason games, you're always trying to pull information, whether it's from fall ball scrimmages or little clips or previews, wherever you can find it. You look back to your notes, different systems, how many coaches change over. So, you know, we're excited. You know, I think there's a lot of unknown from each coaching staff on either side. So it should be a pretty good game.
And then after that, it gets pretty easy. It goes after Monmouth, you get Virginia, Hopkins, Navy, Rutgers, Penn, Yale, Denver, Brown, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's not a lot of tough ones to circle there.
It's always a goal of it's always been a goal of our staffs to play the best schedule in the country. We want to provide this opportunity for our guys. We think that the only way to be the best is to play the best, and, you know, it'll continue to build that competitiveness within our program that we need on a week-to-week basis.
And in all seriousness, the opener is at Monmouth, which is about an hour from Princeton. The next 2 weeks, it's Virginia and Hopkins on Sherrod Field. So it's a great opportunity early to see some good games here.
Absolutely. I mean, it's incredible all across the Division One, all across the NCAA landscape for Division One lacrosse. They're incredible matchups early. We're really excited. You know, we're continuing to grow. We had a good quick preseason. You know, and I think it will take shape hopefully quickly.
Well, we'll be here every Wednesday throughout the lacrosse season with Coach Matt Madelon looking at the Princeton men's lacrosse team as the season starts to unfold. So good luck this weekend against Monmouth. We'll be back next Wednesday, talk about that game, look ahead to Virginia.
Thank you very much. Glad to be back. Excited to continue to share more about our program. Thank you very much.
For head coach Matt Madelon, I'm Jerry Price, thanking you for being with us, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton men's lacrosse.